March the 3rd, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wafidin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.mirazspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran sent because your mind is terribly limited and that life is too big for you. Don't let your own mind cause you to doubt what God has said or cause you to go astray or do something different from what God has established. Follow Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. Obey and believe in him. Know that your mind is terribly limited and that life is too big for you. You need the divine word of God. And you need a man that God accepted as a guide for you to follow. That man is Prophet Muhammad. So we know that. As from life takes, whether it is religion, religious, business, culture, or political, there was a context for it. Everything must exist within some context, within some boundary. We don't live or think any and everywhere. All of our activities are limited to certain boundaries. So knowledge content for everything is its identity. God says that he has made for everything a knowledge content to give it a boundary and to give it an identity. So when you leave that knowledge content, you come out of your boundaries and out of your identity. Unless we see and understand this, we are in the dark. Knowledge of our own situation and what is required of us in that situation is the light for us. So without that knowledge, we are in the dark. A person may call himself a Muslim and live in a knowledge content that is not Muslim. And though he calls himself a Muslim, does not make him one. There must be a knowledge content, because it is within that content that the life of a thing that we identify with is protected. It is Muslim knowledge that makes a person a Muslim. So we are not supposed to have everybody in our little group under one person. In fact, you can't progress in such a situation. And leaders, imams, or AMCA representatives that will cooperate with people and in keeping the Muslim confined to one place and under one leader and an enslaved or infiltrator, they are working with people who are trying to keep the little man from growing. A situation such as that is not for our religion. Al-Islam is not a religion of containment. It is not designed to hold people in prison, prison house within. You carry within a condition of enslavement, confinement that limits your freedom. So there is a prophet called Yusuf in the Quran and Joseph in the Bible. As a child, he was sold into slavery by his own brother. Now, what is scripture telling us in this story of Joseph. It is saying that there is something that may prevail as a condition which amounts to enslavement or confinement. So this condition is a prison. Systems of knowledge. The Quran, Surah 1, Ayah 2, Lord of all the worlds, systems of knowledge. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, Allah encompasses everything in knowledge. So the system of knowledge is everything that exists except Allah. Wasa kuli sharin ilmin. Wasa kuli sharin ilmin. Everything has been encompassed in knowledge. Kula sharin, that means that there is no single thing in the universe that doesn't have a knowledge text. It has a knowledge text, and its knowledge text is its system of knowledge. Yes, its knowledge text is its system of knowledge. So the knowledge text of a human being is the science of the human being, the human being's makeup for his human body. For a bird, it's different. For wheat grain, it's different. For everything else, it's different, right? For every single thing, it's different. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayat 53, signed in the heavens and in itself. The Quran, Surah 7, Ayat 89, reaches the recesses with his knowledge. So everything has its knowledge text, and God bless science to find that knowledge text. And we say, find what God says in the material side, in the material side, but they don't find what God says in the ayat. See how God made all of that to read something to man that he relates to his own creation? And everything in the heavens and the earth, there are signs as well as in yourself. So this mic, microphone, to know what this mic is to you, you have to go to the scientist who invented this, right? And the inventor will tell you how this mic operates. He will give you the science, the knowledge, the body for this thing you call a mic. Everything that exists has its knowledge text. That's what Allah means when he says, Wasiha kuli sha'alin ilma. Wasa kuli sha'alin ilma. And in another place it says, ilma wa rahma, knowledge and mercy. Why? Because when you get knowledge, the utility that God's mercy is to you. So wasa kuli sha'alin ilma wal rahma. The Quran Surah 12 Ayah 76. Over all is one endued with knowledge. The Quran Surah 30 Ayah 56. Those endued with knowledge. Now, Lord of the systems of knowledge, where do we go directly to see what it's addressing? Is planets, the universe, the stars that make up this universe, each one is a body of knowledge in a universal system of knowledge. But each one has its own separate body of knowledge in the universal system of knowledge. So if you study Mars, you get a different body of knowledge than you get out of the study of Mercury. You study Earth, and you get a different body of knowledge. So each body has its own individuality in terms of its composition, its makeup, and its situation in the universe. Therefore, it has its own text. Each one has its own text. And inside the sphere of each one of these, there are many things. And every sealed thing has its knowledge body in its text. systems of knowledge. God guide me to that. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, mercy, knowledge over 80, over all things. So this world that God made is bigger than us. We can't manage this big world. God created without God's help. That's what God wants us to know. Pardon me. So this big world, skies, earth, is too big for you, man, to handle by yourself. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7. Knowledge, mercy, overreaches all things. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, mercy, knowledge, overreaches all things. So Muslims, 65:18. Education, seek Allah, makes path easy. So knowledge, purpose, to bring relief. Now, what is all this to say to us about knowledge and mercy? You can be cruel with knowledge. With knowledge, you can do cruel things. But God didn't intend knowledge to be used that way. The knowledge is to be used to bring relief to the society, to the human family. And you can be cruel with kindness. But God intended that our kindness be sincere, our kindness be unselfishness, our kindness be in accord with the will of God, who is all good and does not accept any bad or any wrong. Muhammad the Prophet, praise and the peace be upon him, said, surely God is good and does not accept any wrong or any bad. And to give more support to that description of God, as a God of all good, God says to us in the Quran, do not put into your charity that would shame you if it was disclosed to people where you got it from. God is good and does not accept. God does not accept good, nor bad thing, nor wrong thing. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, Allah reaches over all in mercy, knowledge. So now, can you see the resemblance of Islam focus on the beginning of man and the Genesis on the beginning of man? So what did he say of the Khalifa? He said he's making subservient, he's making useful, and making yield its usefulness, not just useful, but it's going to yield its usefulness. He made things in the sky and on earth to yield its usefulness. Yield their usefulness to the human person that will accept the responsibility that God created the human person for. That's the Khalifa. If we accept the responsibility that God created you for, he said that he is going to make everything you see in this world serve you, serve your mind, for the benefit of your society. So mercy have come from knowledge and science. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, that he has extended everything so that it will have science, ilmah, knowledge and science, warakna, and mercy. The greatest mercy have come from knowledge and science. So these clothing that we are there, they are a mercy, especially in Chicago in this month, December. These clothes are a mercy, but even if it was warm weather, I would wear thinner clothing, and the thin garments in the warm weather is mercy, because I would like to just take off everything and be as cool as I can be. But the mercy of God through revelation, enlightenment, divine enlightenment, has made me ashamed to just go naked when he put a monkey in clothing. Education, a requirement in religion. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, Allah reaches over all in knowledge and mercy. Quran Surah 96, Ayat 1, read with the name of your Lord. Masjid, page 1, 136 to 18. Education, obligation on every Muslim. Egyptian leader visited from the Department of Religion. When I became leader, I had a visitor from Egypt. He came from the government, but a religious person sent from the religious department, and first thing he said to me was, "You know, I'm acquainted with your brother Akbar. Akbar was educated by them at Al-Azhar University, the most popular, the most famous university in the Islamic world, by popular opinion in Islamic world." He said, "I know your brother Akbar, and in fact, I've talked to him, and we know of you, but we don't know you too well." I said, "Yes, that's true." He said, "If we have a choice, we would like to pick the one who is educated. But if we don't have that choice, we would pick the one who's good." "Yes, that's what he told me, Dr. Ibrahim from Egypt." So I'm agreeing with him. Education is the number one priority in Al-Islam. Respect for knowledge is part of the propagation of Al-Islam. So this is an important part of preaching as Al-Islam or spreading Al-Islam to make the people aware of the importance of knowledge and to have them respect knowledge. God says to us in our holy book, and I know you know Arabic too, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he has tied everything together and has incorporated everything, the whole universe, upon knowledge and mercy. It means that everything has its inner contents of knowledge and mercy. So when I'm speaking using the microphone, this invention of modern science, modern technology, I'm using it to carry the voice of the PA system for the broadcast. But you can study that microphone, and it has its own knowledge. When you study the mic, you are studying the knowledge of it and the PA system, right? So that goes for everything. If it's a mosquito, it is mosquito knowledge. So judge law should have knowledge and mercy. Science will study the mosquito and give you the science of its life. So you will understand he lives, why he wants blood, and how he flies and everything. So God said that to us 1,400 years ago, long before modern science and technology, God said this to us. He told us that through Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, he told all of humanity that everything is contained in a context of science, knowledge, and mercy. That's to tell the wise judge, don't just go upon your knowledge, but respect your human heart and know when mercy is to be ruled. So that's for everything that you know, knowledge and mercy. So death is mercy. We find that even death is a mercy. Most people see death as if it's frightening to think of it and says, "Oh, I'm going to die and my child is going to die." Yes, you are going to die, but God has created death too as a mercy. Read with the name of your Lord. So knowledge is priority, number one priority. Education, then, is our responsibility. And you know the first word revealed to Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, 1,400 years ago was read. The first word of revelation to him was read, Iqra, in the Arabic Quran term. He said to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, read in the name of your Lord who created. And you know all of that. So education first tells student God is responsible. So Quran Surah 40, Ayat 7, knowledge and mercy overreaches all things. So before you tell a child anything about education, you should tell the child without creation matter that you see the skies and the earth are bodies and animals created by a power we don't know and can't conquer. We would not have anything to teach you in this school. That's what they should tell them first. Then they would be educating children and educating people who will have it straight and who will be free to make much more of their lives than what they are making of their lives today. Because you can have a PhD. You can have many PhDs and you can fall down to the lowest of the low. Drugs, liquor, lust for the things of this world can bring that PhD down to the lowest of the low. Disappointment, something he attached himself she attached herself to disappointment or disappoint you, fall down sometimes to the lowest of the low. But if they would introduce education correctly, begin with God that made the world out of which all knowledge comes. He has extended everything and encompassed everything, connected everything, pardon me. He extended everything and expand everything and connect everything upon knowledge and mercy. So what is God telling us? Tell us everything created has knowledge to offer you and everything created has a mercy to offer you. Doesn't civilization, the growth of education for society, bring not only good knowledge, but also a more compassionate world to live in, a more comfortable and more merciful world to live in. So God has said that by way of revelation to Muhammad, the prophet, prayers, and the peace be upon him. So knowledge, science, and mercy in the whole universe. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayat 7, Allah over things in mercy and knowledge. So you mentioned something very important. Our whole religion is education. Not only that, the whole universe, everything in the skies and in the earth is education. God says, "Wasa kuli shaylin wa rahmatin wa ilma wasiya akuli shaylin rahmatin wa ilma." Everything that exists, that God made, is there to give us knowledge, science, and mercy. That's what God said. Education compulsory started with Muhammad. So the Quran, Surah 40, Ayat 7, Allah reaches over all in mercy, knowledge. The Quran, Surah 96, Ayat 1, education compulsory started with Muhammad. So manual hadith. 39:15, obligation every Muslim. God says in the Quran, Rabbana wasi'ati kulli shay'in rahmatan wa ilman. That is, everything exists and extend itself, multiply itself, etc., with knowledge and mercy. Everything God has created will extend to man if he obeys God, if he respects God, not only knowledge and science, but also mercy. So we know that with the Quran coming in the world, science will revive, the intellect was reawakened, and science began to flourish again in the communities of mankind. So this is a reality. This is a fact of history, not a myth. Not a religious claim, only but a fact of history. But where was the identity, where was the destiny for the people of the book? It was lost until the Quran came to Muhammad. Prayers and the peace be upon him, and Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, preaching the word of God, awakened the intellect of man and excited the interest in the material universe for positive and good benefits. and they became the new generation of scientists. And who led it? Muhammad, followers of Muhammad. Muslims, followers of Muhammad. Prayers and the peace be upon it. So think about that now. What is missing in the message of Al-Islam today? Why does we have that kind of presence in the world of science today? We're getting it slowly, but not only us. Hindus are getting it. Chinese, many others. Russians, we know. But many others are engaging in the work of scientific research and et cetera. And they are contributing. The universe is not for white folks. The universe is not for white folks. The universe is not for yellow people. The universe is for all people. And if you don't block the way, you will have all people making their contributions to science and to the society of making of mankind so that we have conveniences. And when you have conveniences, you also have mercy. So when God says that he has incorporated all things, that he has caused all things to be extended to us with knowledge and mercy, he is saying to us, if you want more merciful society, you want a more merciful human life on this earth, pursue God's creation for its knowledge and its science. And then you'll get it. You will bring comfort. Look what came to replace the donkey and the horse, Mercedes-Benz and all the other cars. I didn't forget America, General Motors. But you African-Americans, when I come in your neighborhood, I say your neighborhood, I'm you, but I say your neighborhood. So when I'm driving around in your neighborhood, I see more Mercedes-Benz than I see anywhere else. You are poor African Americans. I'm talking about you. I pull up in a parking lot just 2 days ago. A Mercedes-Benz on my left and one on my right. I said, good God Almighty, it must be a black neighborhood. So every citizen has to be educated, both male and female. So it took centuries for us to come to that civilized position that all human beings are entitled to knowledge that God made possible when he created the world. If we had that kind of recognition and that kind of willingness, see, to give knowledge like that and to point to the truth and share the science with everybody and excite the minds of everybody, poor as well as the rich, to get the benefit that God has given to you in this created material world. When you do that, you put yourself in position then to be replaced by somebody else. And those who want to have power and authority, they don't want to ever have to situation whereas someone can rise up as high as they are and replace them. I insist that the Muslim American society be against that, and you take down from position of authority all big-headed Negroes that want, cool it, I'm not excited, all big-headed Negroes that want to control your life and decide how much of what this or this that you are going to get. Nobody but God should decide how much we get. If I qualify to get money or more money, you shouldn't stand in my way. If I qualify to get more recognition as a teacher of Al-Islam, you shouldn't stay in my way. If I qualify to get higher position in the military, you shouldn't be in my way. I'm qualified. You should believe in freedom, justice, and equality. It's not available to everybody just because they want it. It's available to those who qualify for it. You have to qualify for freedom. The more you qualify for freedom, the more freedom you can get. And if you want to qualify for the maximum amount of freedom that a human being is created to have, then please put a limit on your freedom. You put a limit on your own freedom. When you see your freedom is too much causing trouble for you and others, you withdraw. Say, oh, that's too much freedom. I don't want all that freedom. That's destruction I'm asking for. Then you'll have not only freedom, but you'll have justice. You'll be a man of not only freedom, but a man of justice. Equality in original form, not wealth. And the equality is the equality of our creation. So there is no equality for rich and poor. There will always be those richer than others and those having to depend on others to open the way for wealth and material development or whatever. There will always be that. You can't change that. That is the way of creation. That's the way of God. So let us not follow the Western world in their thinking and put poor against rich so that rich will be against poor. Let us condition the poor to be friendly and appreciative. Be friendly with the rich and appreciate the rich so that we will have the rich not fearing us and not hating us for everything what they have. This world wants to create the breach and keep the breach growing bigger and bigger. So if you know the guidance of God revealed to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, you want to heal the breach, heal every breach that God did not intend to be there. And God did not intend to divide people along class lines of wealth and poverty, etc. Of those who know, the possessed professionals, and those who don't, will all brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, the habit, I won't say tradition, because we are not seriously or consciously, pardon me, doing it, but habit has remained in Al-Islam. When you meet with Muslims or different nationalities, different ethnic groups, different statues in the society or in the world, one high, one low, one doctor, one is not, when they meet and greet each other, they are all the same. You can't tell one is the doctor, and you can't tell the one has a PhD or several PhDs, and others one does not. As long as they are brothers and they are decent by their brother, they meet, and the doctor will speaking and looking up to the little man that has not one doctorate degree. He will look up to him because he has excellence of character, just a little bit more than the professional has. And the professional will be looking up to him and praising him and saying, make dua for me and my family, brother. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayat 7, Allah embraces all things in mercy and knowledge. So when you look at that word, Al-Lamina, this is not the regular way you should talk about those physical objects out there. The world, it is not talking about that at all. This plural for living things, so Al-Lamina is talking about the world of mankind. The Arabic grammar tells us this is the world of mankind. It is not talking about Jupiter, Mars, and all of those places up there. It is obvious the Quran is teaching us something more than that. Primitive or unenlightened men believe that those things out there are worlds. They know it. And they believe that some god they call by some other name, maybe. But they believe that some great power made all of that out there. So that is not anything new to be given people. The Bible has that before the Quran. And the Bible is not talking about those physical objects up there either. That's obvious that something made those physical objects. It is the word of mankind that God is talking about. El-Lamin means the word of mankind and knowledge. So really the word El-Lamin and El-Alam comes from the word meaning to know or knowledge. Il means knowledge. So the root is knowledge. The verb is to know knowledge, to have knowledge. And El-Lamina means the world of knowledge. But look how wonderful the revelation of the Quran is. Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, taught us that everything in the Quran, God says, it has an easy to understand meaning. And it has a meaning that you get by enlightenment or by insight. So if God is saying the worlds, those people who don't know Arabic grammar, they who know Arabic grammar in the public, most of the people of the public don't know Arabic grammar. In the Western world, most of the people do know something about English grammar. But in the Arabic-speaking world, most of their public know nothing about Arabic grammar. Only the educated knows that. And they are in the small minority. Most of their people are not educated. They have a high rate of illiteracy that has survived until now. In the time of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, the first thing he did was to start trying to get everybody to be literate. He said, whoever learns just one line or part of a line, find someone who doesn't know that and teach them. So he was trying to bring about a revolution there for education. And he required everybody to learn how to read. But centuries passed, and they lost all of that. And because of bad leaders, they don't want their people to read. El-Amin is talking about living things. It is the world of the living. That is how we should understand it. He's talking about the world of the living and the people, the living human beings, and the world of knowledge. Someone would say, common people will think that it means those bodies up in the sky. That's okay. They know they mean that, but teachers should teach them the real message, so that they will understand. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to see in the bodies up there in the sky. He wants you to see the bodies up in the sky as embodying science. That's why it is Elamina. He says, Wasi'a kulli shay'in rahmatan wa ilman. Translated, he encompasses all things in mercy and knowledge. Or he has made everything to embody and communicate knowledge or science. So when we say he is Lord of all the world, God is speaking of the world in much higher and deeper meaning. He is talking about the world as objects embodying knowledge and science. And isn't that what happened to the Arab world of Arabia when they were educated in Quran? They became scientific-minded, and they started studying the stars and the heavens, and they gave the world, again, astronomy from the Arab thinkers who were created by this kind of thinking in the Quran. So that's what made them scientific. I was reading recently, and I have to keep mentioning these every time I give a public address, where I mentioned it, I read a caption in the Chicago paper, and it says, no longer can we say in religion or in the circular quarters, oil and water don't mix. And this article makes it very clear what the water is talking about. So he's talking about science and religion, or science and spiritual matters. The water is the spiritual matter, the oil is the science. Now, if it is correct, if he is correct, and he is, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described that oil, the Quran, how it originated, he says, a oil of a blessed tree, an olive. And he goes on to explain the light in the religion schools of Al-Islam, that science, spiritual science, it says the lights are like seven and the darkness is like seven layers. And they interpret that to mean the spiritual sciences. I'm sure that the Sufi brought that about. It is talking about science, period. But the oil is used because it is a liquid. And you wouldn't think of fire coming out of liquid, but some fire burns. Liquid don't burn, but some liquids do. So flame does not touch the oil. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picks this liquid, the olive oil and the olive, to talk to us about science, how it appears to be a liquid, and you wouldn't think of liquid as burning, but this liquid will burn. And when you light it, it burns. The flame separates from the substance. The flame and the substance do not touch. And you can try it yourself or look in a book that has some pictures of oil burning in a book. You will see flames is not touching the oil. There is a space between the flame and the oil. So it seems that the oil is burning, but there is a mysterious separation from the oil and the flame itself. Small particles of it that you can't see is escaping and making the flame. And that is why you see the flame and you don't see the oil touching the flame. But there is a sign. Allah's word is his creation. I believe in these signs as much as I believe in my own life that I'm living on this earth, the sign of God. I'm talking about everything. It is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak with his creation. That is how he first speaks to us. His words, his language, is his creation. But you have to study his creation to get the full message or the full communication that he has given to us. Communication for our whole life, for our moral life. Communication for our rational life. Communication for your emotional life. God is communication with his created or creation to give us understanding, teaching for our whole life and all of its different aspects. So the Quran, Surah 41, Ayat 6, prophet mortal like you. So the leader don't think a mortal, can bring evidence from God. They understand that the knowledge can come by intellectual study, pursuit, and by contact. Thus, study of the physical world science, applying self-mind. If you go and get it that way, how the next one gets it? The same way. You teach him. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayat 6, say, Muhammad, I am a mortal like you. The Quran, Surah 8, Ayat 24, respond to Allah. Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 186, Allah hears, respond to call. The Quran, Surah 4, Ayat 59, obey Allah, the messenger. And again from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, Prophet Muhammad, Allah says that God has obligated us to respond and accept the message of God when he has sent the messenger from amongst the believers. He is one of the believers. he is to come from believing people, from the people of faith, not the people who reject faith, and that he is from our own self. He is from the believers, from themselves, from our own souls, from their own nature, from their own person. He is like them in his nature. So he is like them in his personality. He is like them in his soul. So they should recognize their kindred believers when they see him or when they learn of him. Oh, you who believe, respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to God. Don't be negligent, absent-minded. Don't be insensitive. Respond to Allah and to his messenger when you are called to what gives you life. And know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so close to the human person that he is as though operating between your body, yourself, and your own mortal life. Line and your heart. So the Quran, Surah 41, Ayah 6, I am a mortal human like you. John 14:10, I in you and you in me. Jesus was pointing to something that was there, identity or reality for both himself and the people. The excellence you see in me is also in you. You have the potential. And until you come back to that excellence that God created for you and be reconciled with it, you cannot get to God. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayah 6, I am a mortal human like you. John 14:10, I in you and you in me. It is a type that is in all of us. We have the same in ourselves. People thought wrongly that a man could be a human mortal, but his excellence is divine. So God wanted to kill that idea once and for all. Humans like you, not like as God, nor angel. God who created everything and gave everything its constitution and its possibilities. God can teach a human person himself and qualify that person to be the teacher for all people for all times. So the Quran, Surah 48, Ayat 8, God could have made man one community. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayat 10, God gave man all his needs for his period. All human essence is seen in force. So we know it's not a salat, but the time of the Asr prayer is a salat at a certain time, and that is between sunset and thura. So it is at a certain time. So I don't think it has a direct reference to the Asr prayer, but incidentally, yes. So when it says, surely man is lost except for he who believes and has faith in good deeds and strives in the support of truth and patience and perseverance. So this is the end of that surah. So it is just telling us that the virtue we need to be successful in life and how to keep this life as God wants it. And you know human essence is seen in form, and the Quran addresses those essence over and over again, and that indirectly addresses human essence, because when we lose our essence, that is when we lose our life. So we lose everything. So it is addressing human essence, and it is addressing history, because it says, well, Asr, translated, by the token of time, and some of them add down through the ages. So this is talking about difficult times. No, because you are not praying, you are speaking. God is speaking. And when you say that, you are speaking too. So you should say at the end of this, not I mean, but sadaqallahu al-azim, at the end of Surah Asr. Immigrants must do not know the religion. So these immigrants, they are bringing all of this confusion into our country, America, into the Muslim community, and they don't know. Do you think they know the religion? These guys just came from poverty or struggling to get good, or struggling to get rich over here in their country, and they didn't make it too well over there. They see opportunity over here. They come over here, and suddenly he thinks he can be an imam because he thinks we do not know anything about the religion. They say we knew people. They don't know the religion. I can be an imam there. So this is the dua in the Quran, and the people are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fatiha is a dua and a surah. Dua is not a salat, prayer. So the opinion different allows them to be expressed. So prayer in this sense is dua, right? Because if we say this and say I mean, that is no salat. That is a dua, right? So that is a dua. So a dua, the word comes from the Arabic word du'ad, or du'a, which means to call and ask for something. Call on God for help. So if there is nothing in there calling on God for help, there is no dua. Why is al-Fatiha a surah, but also a dua? It asks, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide us on the right way. So the Quran opens with a chapter that is a dua, and it is a standard dua for all occasions. It opens up the Quran. So we have different opinions, and if I don't discourage, that I encourage it, even if you are wrong. If you have something to say, say it. Who knows? Maybe we are wrong. Maybe you are right. If we can agree, not just let it rest. See if it has power to come back. So the Quran, Surah 42, Ayat 2, could have made man one. Organizations like the World Conference of Religion and Peace, Hope in the City, Muslim World Congress, the Muslim World League, and the many others are working to bring about more desire in the top leadership for a united effort, a coalition working to support the best that is in all the people, not just in our people, in all the people, and to help each other come back to the best of what God gives us through his servant and his messenger. So this is what we are trying to do. So we know we can't change each other, not at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if he had wanted us to be one people, all in one ummah, he would have made it so. But he left it like this so we would be tested by each other and so that we may compete with each other in this race for all that is good and prove ourselves before Allah, who is the most worthy and who is not, who is in the first class and who is in the second class, and who is in the third class and who is in no class. So education, knowledge, tawheed, God in the matter. The Quran, Surah 42, Ayat 11, there is none like Allah. As Muslims, we believe, first of all, in the unity of matter. And we believe when we say matter, we mean the whole cosmic order, everything in existence that religious people call creation. We believe in the unity of matter, and we believe that oneness is a reflection of that unity of God, as we call in our religion, our religious language, Tawheed. Tawheed begins with the belief that there is but one God, and everything else is in its existence because of that one God. So his existence has no beginning, no end. He is eternal, without beginning, without end. He is without change. He was, he is, and he will always be that. In our religion, we are taught that nothing can even begin to approach him to change him. He cannot be changed. Nothing resembles him. There is no image of him, as they say in the Quran. Lasso mithlahu shay. Lasso mithlahu shay. Translated, there is nothing at all mithlahu. Mithlahu, it sees at also a common expression in Arabic language that simply means likeness. There is nothing at all existing like him. So the prophet left with us a sense of great importance for human beings who accept that kind of focus, that kind of way of viewing the eternal reality and their own eternal mind, and their own reality. Man's reality, a very, very special role for man. It lifts us with a sense of great importance that man in this vast universe, if he devotes himself to the service of God, satisfying what God requires of him, working for God's aim and God's purpose in the material human world, that his freedom is unlimited. And also the tools, the resources by which he will advance himself, the society and the world of man, are also unlimited. God says to man, God says he made useful, to be of utility, whatever is in the heavens and the earth. It is in the earth, the sun, the moon, the elements, the climate, the natural forces, everything created. He has made it to yield service to human society. Because of that belief, man of the Enlightenment expanded their vision, their intellect, and worked hard to improve the state of human society, utilized the natural science and the human science for their purpose. So this is what accounts for the greatness of the early community of Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. Its scientific advancements, its human advancement, its great excellence. And this is what accounts for the excellence of the Western society and also, as I mentioned, the Jewish enlightenment that came before those two. Industry before civilization by the primitive man. It is very important then for us to preserve that focus on the historical developments of knowledge. Industry did not begin with the Enlightenment. It began before this Enlightenment. In fact, industry began before there was civilization. Primitive man noticed how certain things are happening in his particular environment. And he understood it, and he was able to cook his food with fire. He was able to make tools and weapons out of iron. And he was able to make vessels to sail the seas and do many things and practice medicine. So this major enlightenment for man that accounted for the greatness of man and the world of man is not the beginning of science. So matter, it is the beginning of a certain defined, specific way of looking at matter, the role of matter, the role of man in matter, and most of all, the theme of matter, seeing the aim in matter, believing that there is a God behind it. That is what accounts for the great civilizations we call Islamic civilization, Judaic civilization, and Christian civilization. And they were others. All science, material, human, spiritual is pure. So we don't believe that there is some science other than that, spiritual science. All of it, all are a part of the unity of science. Muslims, though we can't explain some things that are scientific matter, spiritual matters, and human matter, it doesn't mean that they are not of the pure science. We believe that all of these sciences are pure. They are not presidial sciences, not half sciences. They are all full. sure scientists, whether it's human, spiritual, or material. We believe there is only one knowledge and one truth, and everything else is just a form, expression of it. And God is the creator of it all. So we don't have a division and split on one side. There is the spiritual society on the other side, and the material sciences is on the conflict. There is no conflict for the sciences with Muslims. The science all shares a unity. So religious and the faith must work together. Jesus and Muhammad will be seen together. The Quran, Surah 42, Ayah 13, all prophets had some religion. Pardon me, all prophets had same religion. And Al-Hadith, page 4, 82, and 642W, Jesus, Muhammad, from same grave. Psalms 84:6, Valley of Becca. So Prophet Muhammad said also, there is coming a time when you will see Jesus Christ and myself together. Prophet Muhammad said that there will come a day when the people will see the two messengers of God, Christ Jesus and Muhammad together. I believe that time is now, or the world is one. Our world is one. And for the first time, the great religions are realizing that they have to work together and benefit from the knowledge and purity and wisdom and courage of each other. You can't do it alone. We have to benefit from great blessings that God has bestowed upon us separately. We have to benefit by the working together. We are realizing that for the first time, Mecca is supporting the dialogue with Christian leaders of the world. For the first time that has happened. So we are definitely living in a day of religion, a new day. And I believe that the world will see these two great figures together in this day and time. So Muhammad and Jesus together in the last day. The Quran, Surah 42, Ayah 13, Prophet had same message. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayah 51-52, Prophet are one brotherhood. El Hadith, page 4, 280, page 4, 82, and 642W, Jesus Muhammad from the same grave. So Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, you will see, meaning the future world, the people to come, I and Christ Jesus together. Now, what does this mean? They are going to appear in physical form or appear visibly at the end of the world? No. This is a simple expectation, the expectations of the simple-minded. What does it really mean? It means that those people who were in opposition to Islam, to the Quran and Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, from Christianity, would one day not them of that time, but those Christians of the future time, will come to see Muhammad and Prophet and Christ Jesus, peace be upon him, in agreement with each other. Salakallahu Dadeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I've been your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. I thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Miraj Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And I thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, but before doing so, we will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please God. I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.